Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, Brother Bobby, let's put you to work.
Oh Lord my God, when I am on this wander, considering all the world that man had made, I see the stars, I hear a roll of thunder, there I fruit out the universe this way. And seeing myself, my Savior God, to thee, how great they are, how great they are. And seeing myself, my Savior God, to thee, how great they are, how great they are. When through the sweetly in the tree, when I look down from lofty mountain gathered and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sing myself, my Savior God, to thee, how great they are, how great they are. How great they are, how great they are. And when I think that God his son's not sparing, send him to die and still can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and take away my sin. Then sing myself, my Savior God, to thee, how great they are, how great they are. Then sing myself, my Savior God, to thee, how great they are, how great they are. When Christ shall come without inexoration and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart, then I shall bow in humble inexoration and there proclaim, my God, how great they are, then sing myself, my Savior God, to thee, how great they are, how great they are. Then sing my son, my Savior God, to thee, how great they are, how great they are. Some glad morning when the life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shores. hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away when the shadows of life have grown. I'll fly away like a bird from prison bars has flown. I'll fly away alive, my way of glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die, hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away just a few more weary days are then. I'll fly away to the land where joy should never end. I'll fly away, oh, I'll fly away, oh, glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die, hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away, oh, I'll fly away, oh, glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die, hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away. Have you been to Jesus for the cleaning power? Are you washed in the blood of a lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace and fires? Are you washed in the blood of a lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleaning blood of a lamb? Are you garden sparkly or as white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by your Savior's side? Are we washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you reach each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleaning blood of the Lamb? Are you garden sparkly or as white as snow, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your rearing coming, will your throat be white, fair and white in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansion bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleaning blood of the Lamb? Are you garden sparkly or as white as snow and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain floating for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleaning blood of the Lamb? Are you garden sparkly or as white as snow and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleaning blood of the Lamb? Are you garden sparkly or as white as snow and be washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Thank you, Brother Bobby. All right. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, we ask for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to bring to us, Father, the truth, and give us better revelation of this, your word, Heavenly Father. Open our hearts and minds to be receptive. And Father, help us to walk in the Spirit and according with your word, in your way, your will, not in ours. Because, Father, we all should know that without the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives and the Holy Spirit, we are nothing. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of this evening, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I'm going to talk to you a little bit from Luke chapter 20. I know you're just about there already. He don't know where I'm going to be either. I don't tell him where I'm going to be. Now, Luke chapter 20 is a long chapter, but there's an awful lot in there. And there's a lot that we need today. Because we've got an awful lot of people today that are sitting in the pews of our church, believing they've got heaven made as their home and they're just as lost as they can be. We've got too many churches today that's got pastors standing in the podium that are living an active lifestyle. Yeah. Our churches has accepted, for the most part, has accepted abortion as being all right. The murder of our young born. As of the last count they had, there's over 66 million babies that have been killed here in the United States. Then we wonder why we're in the mess we're in today. 66 murders. Because you see, I don't care who you are. You don't have a right to take a life. Only God has that right. And a woman, it's not her choice. They're laying claim that it being their choice today, but it's not her choice. God put it there, and he's the only one that has the legal right to take it. We find that we're walking further and further and further away from God each and every day. We're living in the 11th hour of the end of time. Won't be long. Come September the 9th, God lets me stay here that long, I'll turn 89. And I believe that that his coming for the church is so close that if he gives me a couple more years, I'll see him. I'll see him when he comes for it. And if he don't, then when he comes for it, I come with him. Yep, be right with him. Do you know, all of us that have families and family members that are lost, we need to get to work on them real heavily. Or we're going to see them left behind. I don't see none of mine lost. I've got some that are. And I know it. And they know it. But still, you got those out there that don't want to hear God's word in no shape, form, or fashion. I was talking with a guy this morning that wanted to go contrary to the word of God. But he wanted to argue about it. I told him, I said, I'll tell you what. Don't ever talk to me again about the word of God. I said, I mean, just exactly that. Don't talk to me again about the word of God. And I hung up. We don't have to take it anymore. God tells us not to argue about his word. To talk about it, yes. But don't argue about it. That don't get nothing done, only it leads both of you kind of astray because it upsets both. So I just won't do it. I'm not going to argue about it. I'll give you his word and it's between you and him then, whether you accept it or you don't. But we're going to get into something here tonight that's going to let us understand a little bit about that. We've got churches out here today that are not teaching about the Holy Spirit at all. Then we got some that are teaching wrongly about the Holy Spirit. But those that deny him and his existence, are lost. And those that are going to church, if they are going to a church that has any of these things against that church, they need to find them another church. One that is standing on God's word as it is written. Not what they want to make out of it. Because you know, God's word tells us that it's not given to you and I for any private interpretation. We're to take it and apply it to our lives as it's given to us by him. Not by mankind, but by him. That's the reason I like for people when they come to church, and I ask all of them do it, all of them don't, but I'll ask them, bring your Bible with you. Follow me so you'll know that it's not my word, not my way, it's God's. Now, they all won't do it, but like I say, that's between them and him. The beginning here with verse 1 says, then it came to pass that on one of those days as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes came upon him with the elders and spake unto him, saying, tell us, by what authority dost thou these things, or who is he that give thee this authority? And he answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one thing and answer me. Now you see, they're looking for any excuse they can have to get something against the Lord Jesus. That's why they're asking this question. Who gave you this authority? They're hearing and they're seeing things he's doing. Now they're asking, who gives you this authority? But you see, nothing is hid from Jesus, not one thing. You and I can hide nothing, not even a thought. He knows it all. He knew what they were thinking and why they had even asked that question. So he answers them with a question. And he answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one thing and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Simple question, wasn't it? But he asked them, you tell me, John's baptism, is it from heaven, godly, or is it of man, just man's way? They couldn't answer that question. Because you see, they wasn't right with God. They wasn't wanting to be right with God, and they wanted to get rid of Jesus. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then believe ye him not? If you believe that it came from heaven, then why didn't you believe him? But they didn't. But, and if we say of men, all the people will stone us. So they was afraid to give him an answer of any kind. There's a lot of people out here today walking and living that if God was to ask them a question, they couldn't answer him because they're living according to man instead of according to God. In this county in which we live, there is two churches that through all of the time of this covert going on didn't close their doors. All the rest of them listened to man and closed their doors. Those churches are not of God. They told me to close this church. Told me I needed to close that church door. Told him, I said, no. I'm not going to close the church. Well, you could be fined and you could go to jail. Well, my answer to that was, you go ahead and fine me. Then you can put me in jail because I ain't going to pay the fine either because you don't have the authority to do either one. You don't have the authority to close the church. You don't have the authority to fine me for not closing it. And it's in the Constitution and our amendments. But I can have you in court for trying it. Just said, looked at me and said, well, you just mean nothing to it, ain't you? Try me and see. I never closed the doors either. We never missed a service here. There are still churches right now, big churches, that's got membership. Actually, their membership was up in the thousands, and they're meeting with 50 and 60 because they only are supposed to be a few. I'm not going there. No way. Because they're not living by the word of God. The Lord God says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And when the apostles were told, you can't preach in that name. How'd they answer the authorities? We ought to obey God rather than man. And we have something today that they, at that day and time, didn't have. And as we go on through this 20th chapter, we're probably not going to get through it tonight. Probably going to finish up Sunday with it. Because there's a whole lot in this. And a whole lot that needs to be brought out in this day and time. All right, now, we found out coming down through verse 5, says, verse 6 says, but and if we say of men, all the people will stone us, for they be persuaded that John was a prophet. And they answered that they could not tell whence it was. And how did Jesus answer them? And Jesus said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. You won't answer my question, I'm not going to answer yours. So many people today sit back and wonder why. I can ask God something, but he don't give me an answer. Well, what was yours? What was you wanting of him? Was it sincere? Was it honest? You hear people say, you know, I pray 2 and 3 hours at a time. It don't matter. In fact, I had rather pray just a few words than to pray by the hour. And God's word tells us this. Those that wanted to pray long prayers and stand on the corners to be seen and all, Jesus didn't like. The one little man that beat on his own chest and said, forgive me, I am a sinner. He was forgiven, just a short prayer. But that prayer was heartfelt. I start my day with a prayer when I wake up. Would you like to know what that prayer is and how long it is? Heavenly Father, I love you and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Now walk with me throughout this day and show me, Lord, what you have for me through this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I get ready to go to bed. I tell him, Heavenly Father, I'm getting ready to lay me down now. I want to tell you good night, and I love you and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Now watch over me through this night. In Jesus' name, amen. But it's meant because I do love him. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the Holy Spirit because without them, I am nothing. Didn't take long prayers. When I pick up this book and I go to reading, if you read it slowly and you read it out loud and you ask him to give you the revelation of what you are studying, as you read, he will. He'll talk to you and he'll open it up for you. But otherwise, if you just sit down and read like a storybook, you'll never learn it. You'll never know what it means. Now, verse 9. Then began he to speak to the people in parables. Oh, parables. I love them. A lot of people don't. In fact, most people don't like them because they don't understand them. This parable, beginning here with verse 9, then began he to speak to the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard and let it forth to husbandmen and went into a far country for a long time. And at the season, he sent a servant to the husbandmen that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandmen beat him and sent him away empty. You know, let's take this husbandman for who the Lord is talking about. He's talking about, really, about you and I. He's talking about mankind. The first time that he put man to watch over something was in the beginning with Adam and Eve. He only asked one thing of them. Only one thing was they told not to do. And that was to eat of the tree of good and evil. Now what happened? The one thing they were told not to do is exactly what they did. Now, that brought sin not only upon them, but upon you and I and all of mankind. Well, The one that put him there come and took him out of it. And put him out where he'd have to work and make his own way. He didn't get away with it so easily, did he? And again, verse 11, and again, he sent another servant, and they beat him also, and entreated him shamefully, and sent him away empty. Who was the second that God was dealing with? Noah. He had Noah to build this ark. And what happened? Through that 40 years it took him to build that ark. He was laughed at. He was scorned. He was talked about, ridiculed, rejected, denied, right up until the day that God shut that door on the ark and the rain all started. And out of all of the world, 8 was saved. The rest lost because they would not listen. Now, then said the Lord of the vineyard, what shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be they will reverence him when they see him. But when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. Jesus. God sent Jesus, his son, into the world. What did they do? They beat him. They rejected him. And they ended up crucifying him and killing him. Well, but he goes on to tell us, so they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? He shall come and destroy these husbandmen and shall give the vineyard to others. And what happened? They wouldn't accept the Lord's teaching, would they, while he was here? They still wanted to stay under the law. And to this day, that nation has still been trying to live by the law. Now, we've got thousands of Jews out there that have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's more of them right now still living or trying to live by the law. They never could live by it, so I don't know what made them think they could continue doing it. After seeing and knowing everything that was done, now, and all of them that will not, and even through this day, but you know, you and I have something they didn't have. They were on their own. They didn't have the Holy Spirit, none of them, because he wasn't give. The Holy Spirit wasn't give under the law. The Holy Spirit was not given to mankind until the day of Pentecost. And they were in that upper room. And that's what started the church age. And that's why you and I can live according to God's word. It's because of that baptism, infilling, indwelling of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. God has dealt with mankind in 3 different ways up to this point. He dealt with them as his father. He dealt with mankind as the Lord Jesus Christ, getting them ready for what was about to take place, which was the church age. Now he's dealing with you and I by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. But you see, it's all Him. We're told in the scripture, it's all Him. Said there's three in heaven that bear record. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. When His apostles and all kept asking Him, let us see the Father. Now what did He tell them? If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. You today, if you are a born-again child of the living God, when mankind sees you, they are seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. They are seeing the Father, and they are seeing the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, because the three of them are dwelling in you. If they're not, then you're not going to make heaven your home either. We're told that. Jesus, when He was talking to Nicodemus, told Nicodemus that mankind had to be born again, or He was not going to enter into the kingdom of God. And to be born again, you have to have that Holy Spirit and all living in you. We're told that in 1 John 3rd chapter. It's all there. But mankind has wanted to undo everything because Satan has gotten into our churches, and he began by changing one thing first. I think I kind of mentioned that one thing last time, didn't I, or didn't? But what was the first thing that Satan changed with the church to start its downfall? Baptism. Simple thing like baptism. Well, how could that start the downfall? Because it took them away from the grace of God and was putting them back under the law. They say, well, Jesus told them to do that. Yes, He did. I know where it's at. In fact, I'll just get and read it to you. Find it in Matthew chapter 28. And He was sending His disciples out. And He tells them, He says, go into all nations. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. They said, see, so baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost is all right. No, it was for that day and time, because they were still under the law, and Jesus had not yet finished paying the price for you and I in this day and time. But when He died on that cross, and He was rose from that grave, and He ascended back into heaven, He had paid the price for all of our sins, all of our sicknesses, all of our diseases. And that's when the church age started. That day in that upper room, they was all up there praying and all and waiting like He had told them to do. And that's when the Holy Spirit was given to mankind. He said that there was a sound as of rushing mighty wind and cloven tongues as of fire, and it set upon each one, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't just 12. They was 120 in that upper room, and they were all filled with it. And we are told that without it, we're not going to make heaven our home. And when we got sin in our lives, you're not going to have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not stay where there is sin. He tells us that. We have to live and be living the Word of Almighty God. Now, it says here in 16, what's going to happen to those that's not? It says, he shall come and destroy these husbandmen and shall give the vineyard to others. And that's exactly what happened. Those that wanted to stay under the law would not accept him, the Lord Jesus Christ, would not accept his ways and would not accept the ways of the church age. He's not with them right now. Does he still love them? Yes, he does. They are his chosen people. But there's a lot of them not going to make heaven their home. Because you see, when they meet him, they're going to be judged according to how they lived by the law. And yet, they don't keep the law. That's why Jesus came. They wasn't keeping it. Now, it says here in verse 17, what is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. Well, you know, Jesus, in his point, and all, in effect, is letting you and I know, even among God's chosen people, many have rejected him. We know that's not going to work. It says, whosoever, 18, shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Now, if we will go to Isaiah 8, it says, and he shall pass through Judah, he shall overflow, go over, he shall reach even to the neck, and the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Ishmael. Now, that's 8, and go to 14. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for again, and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. See, even back then, they were told. But we even, let's go back a little further to Psalms 118, verse 22. The stone which the builders refused, the Lord Jesus, has become the headstone of the corner. Jesus is the head of the church. He may set a man in here as an overseer, which he has done, but this church is his, not mine. It's not mine to do with whatever I want to do with it. It's mine to do what he wants me to do with it. Is it always easy? No. He's been teaching me a lot of things in the last few months. And I do thank God he gave me a helper that has been good help to me. because Satan sneaked in there and brought this up on me. In and out of the hospital, in and out of the hospital. A lot of people say, well, you believe in healing. Why hasn't he healed you? He's working on it. But he'll do it in his time, his way, because he had a reason to let me do it and to go through it. But I'm not going through it on my own. He's with me. If he wasn't with me, I wouldn't be up here tonight. But I got to thinking even. In fact, this last time when I went to the hospital, I wasn't going to go. I said, Lord, heal me. I know that. I'm being healed. So I'm just not going to go to the hospital. I'll just let the Lord do it. I was sitting there in my chair, and he said, no, you go to the hospital. So I went to the hospital. Well, I found out then why he wanted me to go. He was after one of the doctors that was there for one reason. The second doctor I met, because it wasn't the one in the emergency room he's after. After they sent me up to the room, the first doctor I seen, Dr. Machette, come in. Spirit spoke to me and told me, he says, the Lord wants him. The Lord's working with him. Let him know that. Let him know that you know it. I looked at him, I said, Doc, so far all he told me was his name. I said, Doc, you know, the Lord's working with you. He's got something for you. The Spirit spoke to me and told me, he says, now tell him you know that he knows it. I looked at him, I said, and Doc, you know he's working with you, don't you? He looked at me and he said, yeah, I do. I told him, I said, because he's got more work for you than what you're doing. And then the next thing I hear from the Lord was he said, you know, you haven't been spending enough time in the study of my word or spending enough time with me. Well, there's one thing about it. I had plenty of time there. In the 2 weeks I was there in the hospital, I read all four of the Gospels and the New Testament. I got that time in there with him. He also had me meeting some others there in the hospital on the nursing staff that he was also working with. I spent more time talking about the Lord with the nurses and all than I spent about my troubles. So, the good Lord takes care of all of us. If we let him. But he's also told me that we all better get busy within our families and our friends if we don't want to see them lost. Now, he ain't giving me no time. He just let me know the time is short and we better get busy or we're going to see and know that we've got friends and family that is lost and going to be lost forever. It's time that we all begin to set our foot down, stop taking no for an answer, don't argue about it, but every time you get a chance, just mention the fact We all need Jesus. Come go to church with me. You can't force them. And you can't give the increase. God has to give the increase. But you're there to share. And to share his word. Let them know what he has said about it. About the situation. Now, I'm going to catch these next few verses and we'll close out for the evening. And the chief priests and the scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him, and they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. And it was against them and us that has denied him and is walking the ways of this world out here. His word tells you and I that all we need to be concerned about here on this earth is a little food for the belly and clothing to cover our nakedness. And we're not to worry about other things. So we need to be very careful. He'll give you everything that you actually need. You say, oh, no, that won't happen. I'm going to share something with you tonight. Ordinarily, I don't tell people things like this. But I do. I want you to understand what I'm speaking about when I say, he will take care of you. When Libby had to go to the nursing home, her insurance wouldn't pay for it. They said she had reached her bottom and then it wouldn't do any good for her to go. So they wouldn't pay for it. The doctor told me he wouldn't release her from the hospital without sending her to a nursing home. I had to find some way for her to go. So I went down to the nursing home there in Brandenburg, talked to him, and I asked him what it would cost for her there for a month, you know. The doctor seemed to think that he was sending her just to rehab. He didn't think that for rehab she'd be there that long. No, for one, she never did get rehab. But they won't turn her loose. And for me to keep her in there, I had to sell property. She went in October. By December, it had cost us $140,000. When I paid December's bill there, it left me with $400 to pay the bills at the house. How am I going to do it, Lord? How am I going to keep her in there? Well, there was a way made to keep her in there. And I began to notice a few things going on that I hadn't realized before. Next thing you know, my bank account started building. This it got paid off, and that it got paid off, this done, and this done. I'm not understanding really much of any of it. I went today to Brandenburg, to the bank there, CB Bank in Brandenburg, to get my balance on that checking account down there. That balance was $5,000 and some few cents. I went to Irvington to the bank there. Most of my bill paying was through to get my balance there. Because while I was in the hospital, Of course, my bills and all messed up budget and the whole thing, so I have to straighten everything out. But my bank balance at Irvington was $3,500. My mail was brought in to me by my daughter, Marlene, brought my mail in to me. I opened up one of the envelopes. I had got a refund of $4,470. So I was right now, with my two bank accounts and what I've got, I am ahead of the game by $12,000 since December. And every bill paid. The house is paid off, free and clear. The car is paid off, free and clear. Think he won't take care of you? Huh? The church here, our fund is building, and yet we are helping people. I send $100 a month to the Jewish Voice Ministry. I send $50 a month to the Children's Hospital there in Memphis, St. Jude. I send them $50 a month. I'm sending $30 a month to two of our Native American orphanages here in the United States, two different Indian orphanages. We're sending them $30 a month. We're helping people here. But yet, we're building. As of right now, I'm right at $10,000 in the bank with my church account. Huh?
Are you still having to pay off the money out that you left with her staying up here?
No. No, he took care of that too. The last, I got a letter just the other day from the nursing home. They're paying everything but right now but $85 that I have to pay every month, which is not bad at all. $85 a month. They're everything else is paid but that. And so, but God has seen fit to really take care of us. You know, and you know, I know I can't live without him, and I don't want to live without him. I want him guiding each and every step I take, and I'm going to stand exactly where he puts me, and every time he puts me. I was talking to a man today. I've been passing by his church all the time. Now I noticed that they wasn't having church too often. And I had been to his church once. And I thought, well, I'll go by and take him my handbill and invite them when they're not having church, invite them to come visit with me. It's a black church right there in Augustine. I was talking to him. And he even knew me. I didn't know him, but he knew me. And he was tickled death to get the handbills. And so I told him, I said, anytime that you all are not having church, you want come check us out. And he looked at me, and I told him, I said, now don't look at me funny. The color of your skin don't mean a thing. You take the color of that skin off, and we're all the same color. And when we get up there, there ain't going to be no color. And I told him, I said, I'll tell you something else. The first 3 years I was in the ministry, God had me working as an evangelist. When he took an oath to make a pastor out of me, the first 3 churches he put me in were black. I was the only white man in them. He just looked at me and laughed. He said, well, I know you, and I know where you live. He said, I know where your church is, too. And he said, I will be there to see you. And he told me then, the pastor there at the church, and it was the founder of the church, was his son that I was talking to, and it's his brother that pastors that church. But his brother's not doing too good of a job, according to what he told me. And they're missing more church than they're having. This seems to be kind of a thing that's going around right now. We know another church like that, don't we? Misses more days than they have church. And, well, there's another one there in Gustin, Presbyterian church right now. In fact, I don't think they've even got a pastor anymore, because I noticed they took her name off of the sign. They had a woman pastor, and they took her name off. And I know there's a lot of days they're not meeting. So this is getting to be the thing that's happening today. We all need to be in church. We all need to be working with our families and get them in church. And I'm going to stop here. God willing, we'll pick up here come Sunday morning. You'll probably put up a two of Sunday morning. Good Lord may give Dennis a few words to say Sunday morning too. I try to use him, try not to overuse him, but I want to use him and really get him broke in like God wants him broke in. He just sits there and looks at me. Well, I'll tell you what. When I was in the hospital, the church never missed a meeting. He took over from, he lives right around the corner here. What are you? You're less than a mile, aren't you? About a mile? I know it's not very full, just right down here. And he's helped every meeting for me. So let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for a place and a time that we can come together to share your word and to grow thereby. Now, Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit, Father, to reach out, take care of them, to take care of their needs, whatever their needs may be. Keep them in health. Now, Father, for Israel and Jerusalem, we pray for peace for them. We know that they're having very little peace right now, Father. And we are told to pray for them. And we do. And it comes from our heart, Father. They're your people, just as we are. And we know, Father, that everything that we have comes through them. Now, Father, this land of ours has turned its back and walked so far away from the Lord Jesus Christ and from the church and from your people. They're trying everything they can try, Father, to close you out of our land. But Father, we're praying for enough to come together, Father, in your word, in your way, and in your will stand up and make themselves known. Get these voted out of office, Father, removed from office. And those put in, Father, that will work with the Lord Jesus Christ, work with our government to put it back upon the foundation of which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, our prayer list, as each name is called, Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to touch that one, to fulfill whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. And for those that are present here, Lord, Dennis Lee, Sue and Dave Branson, for Bobby, Millie Johnson, for myself, for Kenny Powers, for Terry Coates. Father, may the Holy Spirit touch each one of us and our families. Because, Father, we don't want any of our families lost. Help us through these trying times. Stand with us, Father, and we know that you will, because your word tells us you will. And Father, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom Jung's son Jacob, for Dennis Breeden and his wife Tina, for the brothers in Christ there in Brandenburg, Pastor Randy Johnson, the Church of God there at Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay, for Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie, that little full gospel church of God there at Ekron. Father, these churches, make them lighthouses, but not only lighthouses, Father, make them places of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. For my three friends in Pakistan, Father, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyr Irene, Father, keep them safe. Keep them in health and see to their needs. Now, Father, for Jimmy Emery, Sharon Monvillo and her mother, Father, for Palins Goodman, for Kelly Smith and his wife, for Karen, Father, these all stand in need of a healing touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. Touch them in mighty and great ways, Father. Bring about healing and bring them all to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now be with each one of us, Father. Keep us through this week. Bring us back together again Sunday morning. And we ask all of this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. And God bless. Goodbye now.